Hey guys, welcome to another Cigar Chat brought to you live on CigarFederation.com. Broadcast around the world on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in on this holiday week, wherever you are out there in the world today. Robbie Raz from Cigar Federation, dropping Ash on my keyboard, here with you as always. Logan, you know, checks in whenever he feels like it, and he felt like being here this week. So, Logan, how's everything going, man?
That's the perk of being a CEO, Rob. You just come and show up whenever you want. Yeah, people like you to handle my light work.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah,
I'm
that's
doing cool. All right, Rob. You walked right into that.
Yeah, I did. I deserved it a little bit.
You did. I want to let you know, though, just in case anybody was interested, Cigars International has a Rocky Patel mega sampler right now for $40. You better get on it. You better get on it.
A mega sampler?
Oh, dude, I'm just buying one right now.
Is it just fantastic? Is there like 150 cigars in there?
I think there was like at least 50. Anyways, we're not here to talk about Rocky, even though I would love to have Rocky on the show one day.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I can't remember the last time that I bought one of those big samplers. And it's that's one of the, I mean, when you're getting into cigars, I mean...
You don't know any better.
For me, well, it's not that you don't know any better. There's some good cigars in there. You know, I always have to be the one who takes the high road. But there's some decent cigars in there, I'm sure. I haven't seen the sampler, but I just remember back in the day buying all those samplers, and I would want, like, the most cigars I could get for my money. And then I kind of figured out what I liked and what I didn't like and stopped buying big samplers and focused a little bit more. But, yeah, it's been a while since I bought one of those. And, you know, it's funny. I think I saw somebody posted that on my Facebook page today, too, that gigantic sampler, and it was a big deal. But, anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about. Logan, you've already run us off the rails within the first few minutes.
You're welcome.
We've got Lawrence from CubanaCon here with us today. That's what we're going to talk about. Lawrence, thanks for joining us, man.
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. It's been, you know, we get to spend some time with you and chat at IPCPR, so it's nice to catch up. nice to catch up now. A lot of stuff going on with you guys. You know, the new HR that Logan and I are smoking. We didn't get samples of this at IPCPR because Catfish, you know, one of our mods was such a team player that he kept them all for himself.
I mean, so gracious, so gracious.
Yeah. I mean, he's got you know, like some people get Thug Life tattooed across their chest. He's got team player right across his chest in some old English. But so this is the first time we've had a chance to smoke it. I'm about halfway through, and I think Logan's about halfway through too. So we'll get into it a little bit more. As we go, but so you've been with CubanaCon for less than a year, right?
No, actually, it's
like 3 years.
Oh, back really?
When it was Terrazona and CubanaCon, right?
Oh, okay, that was where my confusion was. So, okay, set me straight.
Yeah, it started back in 2012. It was in 2012, so right in the fall time frame of 2012. So it's a little over 2 years now.
So I really did my research going into the show. I normally wait until we get about halfway through to embarrass myself, but I wanted to get it out of the way early today. So so that's good. I feel like I've got nowhere to go but up from here. Yeah, exactly. So give us kind of a breakdown. You know, what's your role in the company, and kind of the direction that everything's been going.
Well, right now I'm the operations VP and marketing director for the company, and also the company's brand ambassador. So with all of our major events, considering, you know, the HR tour and whatnot, I do all the planning, the booking of travel, and also escorting, you know, to do all the events also.
Yeah, I saw that you posted some pictures on Instagram yesterday. You were getting on the plane, and I think you got upgraded to first class, so good on you there.
Hey,
man.
Four flights in a row.
Oh, you...
It's all about that status, Rob. You don't know about that exact platinum, son.
I don't. I fly 5 times a year, tops. So, no, I saw all these pictures and I thought, oh man, I hope he's gonna be home to do the show tomorrow. But so that's cool.
I planned it out pretty good. I'm out here in Atlanta right now, so just doing a couple of days out here with some friends and family. You know, as the factory's closed for the holidays. And, you know, so it's a good time to, you know, get away and catch back up with friends since, you know, so much travel has been, you know, happening lately. Got to find the time necessary to, you know, get some family in since the travel is going to be even more hot and heavy coming into the spring leading up to the trade show.
Logan, how do you feel about hot and heavy travel?
Well, let me just say this.
What's your favorite kind?
It's the only kind. And the only way to travel, man, is first class, agreed, when you're domestic. But, man, getting first class upgrades is damn near impossible if you're going international. And being back in coach with a bunch of screaming babies, whoo! It'll make a man open the plane door and jump out, I'll tell you. I can tell you some stories.
So you fly first class, and then you make Callaway sit in
Actually, in believe college? It or not, Callaway has never flown on a plane. I'm a little scared because babies can't pop their ears. I mean, she's only 5 months old. But I will tell you, when Allie was pregnant, this is how much of a gentleman I am, and I hope she's watching because she says I always treat her like crap, but that doesn't matter.
She's not watching.
I know she's not. But when we were going to Missouri for my mom, the baby shower my mom and family had, I got upgraded, you know, because I'm a freaking baller. And I gave her my seat, my first class upgrade. And I sat back of the bus.
With the commoners?
With the commoners.
you
were... Steerage.
Dude, steerage, exactly, man.
You are a gentleman. Now, can I ask a question, though? Once you gave up your seat, did you walk back to your other seat in the back and tell everybody that you passed that you gave up your first class seat for a pregnant woman?
No, because I honestly don't like to talk to people on planes. It kind of freaks me out. Like, I'm the guy that, like, if I'm sitting next to you and you start talking to me, I won't say a word. I'm going to say,
So you make everybody sitting around you feel very comfortable, I'm sure.
First of all, what plane have you been on where people are like chatty Cathys? Nobody chats on planes. All right, Rob, shut up. We're going to ask some serious questions.
We've never been this far off topic.
I know. And it's all because of you. So, Lawrence,
go ahead.
Cubanacon has went through what I would like to call a substantial transformation this year. You guys have been a brand for a while, split from Terrazona, and you've had some really big moves with, obviously, the HR, a new sales staff. Tell us all about that.
Yeah, let's go back to the first thing. You mentioned split from Terrazona. It's a misconception. You know, it's really what it was. They only got word from, you know, one person, and, you know, being that one person really wasn't a reliable source in understanding the entire dynamics of everything. You know, he was a salesman is really what his capacity was. But, you know, he had more of a vocalness, so people took more into it as him being, you know, the show. In which case it really wasn't. So it's been kind of a cleanup process from that, and we're happy that we've, you know, moved on from it, and it's been really good for us.
Okay. Because, I mean, you kind of educated me a little bit, and maybe I used the incorrect words, but Cubanacon had the infrastructure. And I just don't think a lot of people know that you had the factory, you have the tobacco tradition, because you guys necessarily weren't front and center, you know, until recently, right?
Well, we were always front and center, but, you know, it's just perception. It's, you know, how people, you know, perceive, you know, the person out there, you know.
That's what I mean. I mean, exactly. Yeah.
We were the infrastructure. We're the factory. We're the growing operation. We're the vertically integrated, you know, integration, you know, machine behind it all. So we're proud of that, and, you know, we definitely want to get people to understand that, you know, we're not, you know, a new kid on the block, but, you know, we're still unknown, you know, to a lot of people, and, you know, just to get a little bit of clarity so people can understand who we are, what we're about, and, you know, the things that we do that, you know, kind of separates us so they can, you know, get a better understanding of us.
Got it. No, I mean, it makes total sense. So, I mean, in that effort, I mean, with the HR and the sales staff, tell us a little bit about that transformation process that you guys have went through this year so all the listeners are clued in.
So earlier this year, I made a move down to Miami to help, you know, as we transition to this project that we're taking. It requires a lot of moving parts as far as being able to handle, you know, the influx, you know, of business that's going to come our way. So part of it was, you know, identifying, you know, the right type of salespeople to help, you know, move the sales force, you know, in the right direction. We brought a gentleman in by the name of Spencer Drake. He was the national sales director for AJ Fernandez. And him understanding, you know, that type of an approach to sales, you know, being that he started with AJ as a salesman, he understands the process in growing a brand from the ground up. So having, you know, him in place to help spear, you know, our sales team was, you know, probably one of the biggest pieces, you know, that we brought in place. So for him to identify the right people in the right territories as we move forward, because we knew what type of a project that we had. You know, we kept it under wraps, you know, for as long as we can, as long as we get our pieces in place, so we can, you know, expect and handle the growth that was soon to come.
Okay. And then you also, you know, and by the way, Spencer's a jerk, and I'm just going to say that because he made a very nasty, mean comment on Facebook about me. But then you also have Brandon and Nate McIntyre as well. So, I mean, it's not just a national sales director. I mean, you have obviously a supporting cast as well, and it's quality salespeople as well.
I think we have some of the best guys in the industry. From, you know, Spencer with, you know, his background and what he was able to do and accomplish with the AJ Fernandez company. From Nate McIntyre with his background from House of Emilio as their national sales director. From Brandon Cornelius Holsworth, big, tall, bald gentleman out of Texas. These guys are just some of the, you know, most professional guys in the industry who believe in personal relationships. You know, these guys have relationships with accounts. They can just walk in the door, and these guys, you know, they know the shop owners. The shop owners know them, their family, their kids. So when you think of this business being, you know, a handshake, a look in your eyes, and, you know, remembering, you know, the name of that retailer's daughter, you know, their surgery that they may have had, you know, and asking how she is, you know, it goes to show because, you know, as we visited, you know, through the territories, we saw these things. We see these things personally with Brandon when we were in Texas 2 weeks ago. So it's paramount that, you know, these type of guys are, you know, there because they're the ones who are, you know, your face of your company in that territory. So having, you know, those right type of people in place is the most important thing that we can have.
Agreed. So I'm taking all the questions. Sorry, Rob. Sorry, no, listeners.
I'm just sitting here enjoying the cigar. You're doing fine.
I know. It's good. I'm telling you. It's pretty good. We'll get more into that later. But so with the big project with Orocha Robania, I know nothing about Cuban tobacco other than he's related to some famous Cuban dude that Catfish blows his nuts all over because he's some crazy tobacco guy from Cuba. What is his background? Why is he so special?
Well, Orocha Robania is he's the grandson of the late Don Alejandro Robina. People that know who Alejandro Robina is, he's revered as probably the greatest and most popular Cuban farmer. More so that, you know, their family has been growing tobacco since 1845. And their family has been one of the few families that are private farmers in Cuba. So, you know, they weren't forced to give up their farm like a majority of families that did that fled Cuba. So they were the ones who were standing up, you know, to the regime as far as not, you know, turning over, you know, their property, their lineage, you know, that's been in their family for, you know, well over a century. So they stood firm and believed that, you know, that what they did was so paramount for, you know, the industry in Cuba that the government couldn't, you know, take away, you know, what they've had built because they were growing the best tobacco for their industry. So it goes to show, you know, what type of people, you know, that they are and how revered Don Alejandro was from being able to make a stand to eventually in the 90s getting a brand named after him, you know, his family, the Vegas Robina brand, being the only brand, you know, in the Cuban industry that associates to an actual person. So with Hiroshi coming into the fold into the late 90s, he was the apprentice, you know, to his grandfather to inherit, you know, everything from the farm. So the century of work, you know, that has been passed down was given to Hiroshi. And in 2005, he was handed over the reins of the farm while his, you know, grandfather, getting older in years, you know, stayed on, was his mentor, lived on the farm at the same time while he took over the full reins. And when he unfortunately passed in 2010, it was firmly, you know, Hiroshi Robina's show to run. And he continued on because he still won year after year. It's Hombre Habano as far as the number one, you know, rated grower in Cuba. So these things here have, you know, has what, you know, built, you know, a powerful legacy that he's carrying on. And it goes to show that he travels, you know, internationally, you know, from a young guy, you know, traveling with his grandfather, going to, you know, Malaysia, the Middle East, China, Europe. So as he's grown and developed himself, you know, as, you know, a powerful person in the industry. It's just more so that now it's people are starting to realize now in the United States market, you know, just who he is and who his family really is. A lot of people know, but there's still a majority of the entire American cigar population that don't really know. So it's been an educational thing to educate the folks and to understand the Robina family's importance to the industry globally, and then more so as we move forward into the U.S. market with the HR.
Okay. So didn't know all that, so thanks for letting me know. So I got a question. He's got this 100-year tradition, best farms in Cuba. Why leave that?
He didn't leave
this project. Well, not leave it, but why is he doing this other project? That's obviously very not Cuban at all. You know what I mean?
Part of this is a dream of his grandfather. His grandfather and a gentleman who runs our factory, Don Omar Gonzalez, they have been friends for, you know, decades in Cuba, you know, with Don Alejandro growing and with Don Omar working in the industry side as far as factory side and operations and so forth. They became, you know, really great friends, tasting panels, you know, that they've done to introduce, you know, limited edition blends and things that they've worked on. So they've always have talked about maybe, you know, hopefully in the future we could, you know, make a cigar, you know, for the United States market, you know. So, but as, you know, times have, you know, grown on, you know, he passes away, unfortunately, but, you know, as Hiroshi has now come, you know, into his own running the farm, Don Alejandro coming on board with us, you know, this was some of the things in this this union as far as, you know, being able to introduce a brand, you know, that shows tribute, you know, to the Robina family is really what it is. So Hiroshi being to take on his, you know, grandfather's dream. He couldn't do it while he was alive, so this was the chance now to be able to do it, to pay homage to the family and to introduce, you know, more cigar smokers to, you know, the Robina family itself.
Got it. Okay, two more questions and I'm done. Is one, it is, you know, Hiroshi still a Cuban citizen, right?
Yes, he is.
So, one, what is the Cuban government? I mean, this would be a better question before this whole Cuban embargo lifting talk began. But one, what is before that, save the trade show, what was the Cuban government's thought about this? And then two, how, with a lot of the families that did leave Cuba, I mean, Padrones and others, I mean, how is Hiroshi perceived, or how is this project perceived because they did stay in Cuba and kept that legacy going versus leaving?
For Hiroshi himself, he was, you know, he was granted a 5-year unlimited entry travel visa. So it speaks volumes of relationship building, you know, and for them granting that. But, you know, Hiroshi's been traveling internationally for quite a few years. Okay. So even with his grandfather, you're talking about in the early 2000s, late 90s, he's traveled, you know, abroad. So the Cuban government has, you know, always, you know, allowed, you know, travel for, you know, himself, his family, you know, folks like that. But as far as coming to the U.S. market, you know, they gave him, you know, the unlimited.
They gave him the visa.
Yeah, they gave him the visa. You know, it wasn't, you know, anything, you know, crazy, because they still do it today, you know, for their citizens who want to come to the United States. And for a gentleman as Hiroshi Robina, you know, he has a family legacy and history, you know, there in Cuba. You know, so you look at that also as being something to, you know, say, yeah, you know, we know this, you know, he's not going anywhere, you know, type of deal. So it was easy. So just putting the project together and getting all that together was probably the more difficult task, you know, than his travel. But
right.
And your other question, you know, as far as other families, you know, that are in the industry today, quite a few have really stepped up and showed a lot of support. We're very appreciative. You know, the Padrone family has come forward and, you know, offered, you know, congratulations and, you know, and appreciation, you know, and happy to see Hiroshi, see him involved. And, you know, they know that it brings more of a good spotlight on. And you talk about Lito Gomez from the Florida Dominicana. He's been a great friend. Some of these people actually visit Cuba from time to time and have known the Robina family. So these people have been very, very supportive and showing a lot of support and, you know, from the industry events that we've been to, from the Fuentes family, you know, these folks have been very gracious and, you know, opening arms. It's a wonderful thing, you know, to see, you know, the outpouring of support, you know, considering, you know, as he introduced into the market, which has been a really good thing.
Good answer. All right, I'm tapped out, Rob. I got more questions, but I feel like I'm monopolizing. And you're on mute, Rob.
I know. I was engaging with the chat room. They're all complaining that you stole all their questions.
No, that's because I had good questions to ask, and I'm a genius, and that's why you guys come to the show to watch it every week.
I'm sure that's exactly it. So we talked a little bit about the HR. We'll get more into it just so everybody knows. I mean, that's Logan and I are both smoking that. I'm about a little bit past halfway, and we were talking about it offline. Yeah, Lawrence is smoking the same thing. Talking about it a little bit offline, the first, I don't know, probably inch or so was spicier than I anticipated. I hadn't smoked the cigar yet. This is the first one I've smoked, and just based on, you know, Catfish's review and his response to the cigar, I expected it to be a bit more mellow. I expected it to be more like it is in the second half. The second half of this cigar is absolutely amazing. It's like it hit this one point, and I took one puff, and it was okay, and then the next puff was, like, fantastic. Just a ton of flavor came out, and it kind of caught me off guard a little bit. The second half of this is pretty damn amazing. I think we'll probably get more questions. I'm going to go through and read some of these audience questions. Cubanacan's got a bunch of different lines out there. So this one's from Steve Christopher. He hasn't really explored your line all that much. He says, what would be your recommendation to a seasoned smoker who wants to try out your blends for the first time?
If you really want to try one of the Cubanacan lines, it would probably be the Connecticut line. The Connecticut line comes in a Robusto, Torpedo, Churchill, Gordo 660, and a small Petite Corona, 4.5 by 42. You can go into that one. There's not a lot of kick to it, but it's a ton of flavor, a lot of complexity to it. So for, you know, the novice, you know, cigar smoker, that would be a great introduction to really see what we're about, to check out the construction and the quality to it. You know, so I'd say that would be the best place to start first.
Okay. And then, you know, from there they can go into the Habano, Maduro as well. Yep. You know, there's some other releases. And you have at least one more line that I know of. That I'm sure we'll get into at some point. Just keep scrolling down some of these questions here. Just remind everybody listening to Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world, the Armed Forces Radio Network. We're with Lawrence from Cubanacan, talking about the HR and some of the other new stuff. So this one's from Charlie. He says he picked up a 5-pack of the HR in the Hermoso size, and he's really enjoying it. His question is, why the steep price point? I mean, these are they start at around $20 a pop, and they're kind of in that 20 to 25 range, if memory serves. So what's the story behind the steep price point?
Okay. Well, it's $18.99 to $21.99.
Okay. I was off on it.
Going from Hermoso size 5 1/8 by 48, which is, you know, a little small Robusto, 48 ring gauge, to a 5 1/2 by 52 Bellicoso, to a 6 by 52 Toro, to a 6 1/2 by 54 Sublime. So yeah, $18.99 to $21.99. I guess when you take in, I guess, various, you know, tobacco taxes in various states, you know, probably pushes them up to those numbers. But you know, people look at steep, you know, and, you know, steep price, but, you know, always equate it to, you know, what are you getting from when you're smoking? You know, is it an excellent cigar in your mind? Does it give you awesome qualities as far as the flavor profile? Is the construction, you know, a beautiful constructed cigar? Does it give you great smoke output? Does it give you unique flavors? You know, does it change from, you know, third to third? And I think that this cigar here is an amazing cigar. You know, for all those, you know, little things that you look for in a really ultra-premium cigar, I think we come in, below, you know, a price point, which we think should be a little more considering, you know, what you're getting. Yeah, it might be an unknown as far as the name, but when you get to smoking it, you tend to get, you know, these great qualities in a cigar in which you can really enjoy. You know, I saw Catfish's review of the HR, and you know, he made a really good point to it. You know, he said he had the Sublime, which is a $22 cigar. He said he smoked it for, you know, 2.5 to 3 hours, and he said for a 3 hour cigar, for a $22 cigar, he was like, I'd smoke this any day over $2 $10 cigars, you know, because of what he was getting, you know, from that cigar. So it would vary from, you know, from smoker to smoker. You know, we think that, you know, it goes into a price point that goes into, you know, that it can, you know, when you start looking at, you know, people who smoke, you know, Davidoffs, when people who smoke Padrones, you know, people who smoke the higher end Fuentes, you know, not saying that we're that. But, you know, there is, you know, type of cigar smokers who gravitate to those cigars. You know, so there is a market, you know, that's out there for it. We think that we compete, you know, perfectly in that arena. And we think it's a little under from what we think it really should be. To see where the cigar becomes in 6 months to a year, I think it's going to be, even greater than what it is now. So I'm excited, you know, because, you know, the response that we've gotten, you know, has, you know, is when someone mentioned, you know, pricing, but then the minute that they smoked it, pricing was gone, you know, so that was, you know, a really good mark. So when you start thinking of some of the bigger accounts, you know, across the United States who've gone on board to, you know, support this, to want to have it, you know, who really appreciated the cigar and the pricing wasn't even an issue at all. You know, when you think of Coronas in Orlando, Smoke Inn, when you think of Nat Sherman's in New York City, when you think of, you know, Sirius in Houston, Texas, when you start thinking of, you know, some of these really big accounts, you know, throughout the United States who've really gotten behind the project, we think we're, you know, we've got something very special. And as more people get exposed, you know, to it, to really understand the story, you know, the history behind it, you know, people will really gravitate more to it. It's a special cigar, you know, something that can really be enjoyed, you know, for those special moments in your life as well. And for some people, it could be an everyday cigar as well. So we're excited about the reception that we have received. Just from the trade show to today, you know, we started shipping in December. We went through our very first allocation that we've had, you know, pre-sold. So, you know, that's very successful. We are looking forward to, you know, this rest of the winter and spring. So we have quite a few accounts on board. I'd say the number in the area of around 150 to almost 200 accounts with HR. So we think that very successful. We're taking a nice, you know, approach to it where we won't try to, it's a cigar we don't want to have, you know, we can't have it everywhere. You know, we want to be able to get into the right places that can really appreciate it, to have the right type of clientele that can, you know, get behind it and support it, and to be with the right retailers who appreciate the story, who want to be able to sell it to their consumer. So we think we're positioned very well, and also, you know, getting advertising that we've done with Cigar Aficionado has been an amazing piece as well. So from the little things that they have done for us, it spoke a lot. And we look forward to the January-February issue where there'll be a 2.5-page spread talking about Hiroshi Rabina, some photos, so people can be able to read it, even get some more information, you know, that is in there. I haven't read it all the way, but it's a very great piece, and we're looking forward to an insider rating, you know, to come forward from them also, which is a really good thing. So we're excited all the way around. So we're really happy.
That's awesome. Get a nice little spread in Cigar Aficionado. That's going to definitely do a good job of raise awareness. And you kind of led into my next question. Oh, go ahead, Logan. I mean, I got a follow-up question, but go ahead.
I have a follow-up question, too. Is the first question, there was two questions. I just forgot one. But so I've heard some rumors, and I want to dispel them. On the show is that there's some stiff requirements to actually get, you know, HR in your store, whether you have to buy X amount of product or have so many facings. I mean, what is the requirements to get that in a retailer?
Yeah, you know, that was a misconception. You know, that was misinformation at best. What people were looking at was, you know, Hiroshi is coming, you know, to the United States, you know, in his capacity as an ambassador, as, you know, coming to the United States, sharing, you know, with people about his family, you know, understanding more so of the history of the Robina family. But, you know, these were personal visits. So we were only doing a limited amount of visits, you know, to the United States. So what it is was people were confused that, you know, Hiroshi visits to actually having the product themselves, which is totally, totally different. You know, so, you know, we have a requirement for a Hiroshi visit, but more so those are lean to the big retailers, the ones who can have it, the ones who have multiple stores who can carry on, you know, who can carry the product. But to have, you know, the product in itself, you know, it's minimal at best when you compare it, you know, to other companies to have it, you know. So to order in to get HR, if you hear about it and you want to get it, yeah, you know, we'll ask, you know, to bring on some of our core line product, because we would love to have our representation of our brands as well, you know. So to go straight and quarter and have, you know, HR, you know, we would definitely, you know, require some of our, you know, products to be placed, but nothing obscene or crazy, you know, between the, you know, the 12 to 16 box, you know, minimum of our core lines, you know, products, and then you can just order, you know, the HRs that you would like to have. So it's nothing unheard of in the industry, whereas, you know, other companies require, you know, 45 facings, you know, require you to do $50,000 in sales with them alone a year to fall into the required zone to get the limited, you know, type of products that they'll be selling. So we're very fair. And when we came to really explain it to people, they got to understanding that, you know, what they were confused with was being the actual Hiroshi business. So it's been good.
Good. And I just had my other question, and I totally forgot it. So
that's all right, because I kind of want to follow up. I think it's like nothing. The way you would just explain that just sounds like good business to me. None of that sounds extravagant. Like I can understand if you want to have an event and have Hiroshi there, you need to have a setting that fits, that you can accommodate an event like that, because an event like that's going to be large. So I mean, I can understand that, but like, there's just about every company has some sort of criteria that you have to meet to carry their cigars, and nobody ever talks about it. But for whatever reason, I've heard about this, which I just think is kind of strange.
Crazy.
You know what I mean? Like, and the way that you're explaining it to me is, it doesn't sound. And I'm not a shop owner, and I don't really know the ins and outs of all that. But it doesn't sound crazy to me. But for some reason, you just became a topic. I don't know why. I just think that's
weird. Yeah, sometimes it could just be a little hate or just a little not really, you know, knowing who we are and where we've come out of. People see us coming out of nowhere to start asking for things. But, you know, it's an industry standard, you know, across. I'm not going to name any companies, but if you start thinking of some of the rare cigars, the seasonal ones that come out, the ones that are very highly sought after and people really clamor for, those retailers have to make, you know, sizable investment with that company to be able to sell that product. So we're not demanding nowhere near, you know, as much as those other companies are. We're very fair with it, and companies have come back and told us that it is very fair, considering, you know, the type of you know, the cigar that it is and what the name behind it and the story behind it is as well. And they really understood, you know, when we asked about it, they were more than understanding and saying, yeah, you know, I agree, you should be able to, you know, be able to bring some of your core line products that, you know, are very, very good, a competitive, great price point, you know, that has shown, you know, its own legs in being able to grow in their retail market. So, you know, when we think of the Cubanacan brand itself and our other brand, Cineros, you know, they've grown very well in the Southeast territory with Nate McIntyre and in the Texas territory with Brandon Holsworth. I mean, we were getting, you know, brand new accounts and reorders, you know, weekly, bi-weekly from these accounts. Just, and it shows, you know, that the manufacturing that we have in place, the quality of our cigars that we have, really hold its own, you know, in comparison to other cigars, you know, in its, you know, in that price range. So we're very comparable to everybody else. It's just that, you know, with HR, you just require just a little more, but it's, you know, nothing unheard of. So we're happy.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Stuff like that kind of bugs me just from an outside standpoint. I mean, I think every company that produces a cigar has a right to say, look, your shop needs to meet certain criteria before I'm going to have you carry my product. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's just business. But whatever, we can move on. had a couple people here ask about the name Cubanacon. Is there a story behind that? Can you give us a little bit of that?
Cubanacon is. Yeah, a few people ask. That's a good question. People always want to understand that. But it's in regards to the specific region in Havana called Cubanacon. And our website has a really detailed story about it also as well. So if you go to our website, www.cubanacancigars.com, it also gives you a great, you know, story behind the name, you know, and what it means. It means where land is fertile is really what it is. But you know, our founder of our company, he has an affinity, you know, to that name growing up in Cuba. So it was something that stuck with him and something that he wanted to use. Nobody, you know, used it. So that was his chance to, you know, do something that he's always wanted to do as a kid.
Okay. And so we've talked about some of the other lines. A good question here from Jason Myers is really going to kind of cover everything. He said, could you give us a quick run-through of the Cubanacon lines? So is there one you think that is, you know, more of a like a morning cigar with a cup of coffee, something that's more for after dinner, et cetera? So kind of just give maybe a rundown of the core lines.
Our core lines with Cubanacon, you have, we come in three blends in Cubanacon with our Connecticut blend, which is more mild and creamier, not a lot of kick to it, but very full flavored, which is good for the novice cigar smoker, but for the seasoned cigar smoker, it's an amazing cigar because you're able to detect so many different little subtleties, you know, within. Now, you know, I've had friends tell me that the Petite Corona size in the Cubanacon Connecticut is one of their favorite cigars of all time, you know, just from the little things that particular size is able to convey. So we're happy that, you know, we have something, you know, in that, you know, format that really conveys very well. So starting with that Connecticut, and then we go to a Habano line, which is it's a Nicaraguan Puro. I think my website has it kind of differently, but something we have to update. So, but it's a nice medium to solid medium to medium plus a little bit, but it's the flavor is off the charts, you know, with the Habano line, which we're happy with that. It goes for the seasoned smoker, even novices can go for it, but we think it goes well with a seasoned smoker to go for. Then we have our Maduro line, which we use an Ecuadorian Habano Maduro wrapper. So a Escuro wrapper. So it has a very smoky profile to it. You know, it's definitely good for, you know, with scotches, you know, smoky scotches, you know, pair very well with it. And that comes in, you know, standard sizes I mentioned earlier, from Petit to a Robusto to a Pyramid to a Churchill to a Gordo. But we also, in the Maduro, we did a line extension earlier this year with the Lonsdale. So it's a 6.5 by 42 Lonsdale that we introduced earlier this year, which is a phenomenal size, you know, for that blend. And it shows very well. So it's the brands itself has been, in a little over 2.5 years, we introduced the Connecticut line in 2012. We came at the trade show in Orlando. And by the winter, we introduced the Habano of winter 12. And then by the trade show 2013 in Vegas, we introduced the Maduro. So it's very solid, competitively priced, going from $4 and change up to a shade under $9. You know, for all our sizes, you know, throughout all the blends. So we think it's competitively priced to go up against, you know, not to go up against, but to be on its own, you know, in the marketplace. It's at a fair price point for what you get from the cigar. We have another line called Ceneros. The Ceneros line came about in 2013, but the Ceneros line itself is a special project of our master blender and administrator of our factory, Don Omar Gonzalez Alaman. This is, you know, his personal blend, which uses an Ecuadorian Habano 2000 wrapper and with Nicaraguan binders and filler. It has a depiction of a, I guess that's a G-clef with an S.
I call it a guitar.
Yeah, with a guitar, you know, also in the design, you know, scape for it too. So those go from a Corona Gorda 46 to a 52 Toro, a 54 Petite Sublime, and we have a 60 Gran Robusto and a 60 Bellicoso type of Robusto. So it has more of a torpedo-ish type of tip to the 60 ring gauge, which is a phenomenal cigar if you ever get a hold of it. So those two right there are our core brands, you know, that we currently market and we sell. Well, we have our other brand that we also have, the Maduro's brand, which is actually the very first brand that we came out with as a company. So that is currently in the process of a repackaging as we move forward. So we look forward to the trade show to really have an official unveiling in New Orleans.
Yeah, that's you guys really do. I mean, now when you bring the HR into the mix, kind of that ultra premium, if that's what we're calling it nowadays. I'm not sure what the official title is when you get up in that range, but it's like you're hitting a little bit of everybody's palate, but you're hitting everybody's price point as well. You know, to keep things all the Cubanacan, like you said, between four and change and around $9, that sits right in that sweet spot for most of. I would assume that sweet spot for most of cigar smokers. A sweet spot for me. I like to be in that range. You know, $6, $7, $8. That's a nice place to be with the price point. Logan, how much time do we have left? You're muted, genius. Or you're just gone. Anyway, I'll just keep going until Logan
figures out. No, please, Rob. We don't want to hear a word you say. We have about 10 minutes. And yeah, thank you. We have about 8 minutes left. And my question, Lawrence, and it came back to me, is the HR a limited project? Will it be released in kind of small batches? Is it an ongoing thing? I mean, where do you see it going in the next year?
This is an ongoing thing. You know, from the wrapper that we procured for the HR, we were able to get a family in Ecuador who's...
It's Habano Oscuro, right?
Say again?
It's Habano Oscuro, right?
No. Hybrid 2000, H2000. Okay. Havana, 2000. Yeah, yeah. So we have a farm in Ecuador that we deal with exclusively for the wrapper. It's a very high priming Habano wrapper. So we're there. Well, they grow that exclusively for us. So we take on, you know, the yields that they have, and you know that's for us. So it's not limited at all. It's limited in where we go with it. You know, we don't foresee this cigar being in every single store. You know, that we would come across, you know. So we want to find that we go to the right places and where we would want to sell, you know, HR. So by far, it's not limited, but we do understand that there is supply and demand, you know, issues in this business. So we want to be able to take care of our existing customers. So we want to be very smart in our approach as far as how and where we sell so we can, you know, take care of those guys who've taken care of us. So won't be limited at all. It will always be available. And, you know, it's going to be more and more as we grow. But we definitely have, you know, the tobacco to really keep it going.
Got it. I mean, I was going to ask, like, since you guys are, you know, vertically integrated, you have your farms. I mean, is the HR something that you guys grow? I mean, not the wrapper, obviously. But is the filler and binder something you guys grow yourselves, or do you actually have to go out and procure other components of the HR in comparison to your other cigars?
No, these are the tobaccos that we grow with our binders and our filler. Okay. So we have our own farms in Esteli and in Jalapa. What we do like is that with Omar Gonzalez, you know, his process, you know, the things that he's done in Cuba, and knowing, you know, the traditions in Cuba and how they go about their curing and then their fermenting, you know, has been one of the things that we know that separates, you know, our tobacco and what gives it a nice high quality to it. You know, we appreciate the time that he takes to age to the tobacco, to go about, you know, utilizing the water and the heat and that process that he uses from Cuba, and takes his time throughout the process. So we're happy that process does and shows the tobacco very well. So when you smoke it and you appreciate it, it's because of some of these little secrets, you know, about the things that he has done and know of from his time when he was in Cuba.
Right. Well, it's interesting that you guys are aging the HR and have made a commitment to age tobacco for long, because, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but in Cuba is a little bit different. They don't necessarily ferment and age the tobacco. It's quite as long before they roll, right? And is that so what they're doing is a little bit of a departure from what they do in Cuba, or is that what they do in Cuba?
I can't answer of what they do in Cuba, but I do
you
know...
You should, as brand ambassador, LOD. You should know everything.
Out of the Cuban cigar industry, man. I'm just trying to take care of what we got going out here in Nicaragua, brother. But we know that, you know, through from all the stories that's been shared to me, you know, from Omar himself, that these are the things that he looks upon as, you know, doing things, you know, the right way, his way, you know, of being able to do it, you know, from training all of our rollers, you know, in our factory to, I mean, personally, I mean, he actually sits with every roller and shows them the way. So it's really good, because when you go across from, you know, our brands, you'll be able to notice a measure of consistency in the quality and the construction. And that's all from him sitting there and teaching every single roller, every single buncher, every single, you know, person involved in the process, because he's that meticulous in trying to do things his way. And the accountability, you know, he knows stops at him. So he doesn't want anything to get past him. So he knows that he trains them right, he trains them the way that he does, then everything's going to go the way that he desires.
Agreed. He's Harry S. Truman. The buck stops here. And because my favorite president in the state, I'm originally from Missouri. Shameless plug. Anyways, and I will comment that the HR, before the show started, I told Rob, I was like, this was the most dense cigar I've ever smoked in my life. Like, you know, most cigars will have a little give and stuff. Like, even smoking it down to the nose, I mean, this thing is still firm, and the draw is perfect. And I don't know if you can see the ash, but it's like just a stack of quarters. I mean, it's freaking phenomenal. I mean, it really is. Like, I'm kind of blown away.
I'll echo that a little bit, and I'll say that Logan and I are agreeing on something this time, and sure. actually be correct. I'm getting right down to the nub. Logan, as usual, smoked a little bit faster than me.
I started 3 minutes before
Drew. You actually started before I did too. But when did we fire these up? About 4:20. So about an hour and 40 minutes ago, and I'm going West Coast time. Yeah. And I've still got, you know, a fair amount to go. It's a slow smoking cigar. But when we were talking about the price point earlier, and you know that experience, the transitions, the flavor, the construction, it's all there. I mean, for me, it started out in a place that I wasn't too jazzed about for the first inch or so. But right after that, it's just really, really just, it floods you with flavor. I don't know how else to say it. Sounds a little lame, but it's a pretty special cigar. And people are telling me not to smoke the band. I won't. I'll take the band off, I promise. But no, it really is. I mean, it's one of those things, and for Catfish to say that the price point didn't bother him, I think Logan and I can both kind of chuckle at that, because that's the last thing that I thought that he would say about it, is that the price point didn't bother him. But when you're smoking the cigar, it's just like if you're having, you know, like an 18-year-old scotch. I mean, you know where that extra money goes when you're smoking it. So anyway, that's just kind of my follow-up to what Logan had to say. Logan, you got any more final questions before we wrap up our AFRN segment?
No, I don't think so. I mean, everyone in the chat rooms can't believe that I like it. And honestly, I can't really believe that I did. I mean, because I'm usually a very value-conscious smoker. I mean, there's just so much on the market right now that's, you know, the $6 to $10 range that hits my palate just right. And somebody asked me, said, would I pay $20 for it? And I think I can answer that honestly and say that, yeah, I would pay $20 for the cigar. But I don't think it would be a cigar that I'm going to go out and buy a box of and smoke every day and just Big Daddy Warbucks. I think it's something that I could see myself, you know, and I wouldn't, and this is not a cigar you buy and give to your friends. Like, you know what I mean? Because screw them, because this is too good.
Like, it's not a cigar that you would buy and give to your friends.
Maybe absolutely not. I mean, if you're like really nice and they're like a wealthy uncle that's giving you millions of dollars, maybe, but I think it's a cigar that you know, when you have time and you're like, this is going to sound really stupid, but when you're like reflecting, right, it's not something you're going to light at a barbecue. It's going to be something when you're reflecting, you're enjoying, you're with family and your friends, and you just want to, like, chill. I could definitely see myself smoking it, without a doubt.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm curious to see how how it tastes in 6 months and how it tastes in a year.
Yeah.
I think that the flavor profile is something that's gonna, some time is gonna be really, really good to it. And again, Logan, doesn't sound stupid to say that you're sitting there reflecting. It just sounds weird coming from you.
I know, because that's I mean, if you screw Cigar Aficionado rating, what I just said is the best endorsement you're ever gonna get, LLD. I'd write that down, video chop that, put that on the web. That's all you need, right there.
Okay.
Done. Yeah, you'll build your 2015 marketing campaign around Logan's comments. I heard that the little bing, so we are out of time for our AFRN segment. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. We appreciate everything you guys are doing for us out there. Lawrence, thank you for taking the time, man. Real quick, remind everybody where they can find you guys, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that.
Our webpage is www.cubanaconcigars.com. It gives a listing of our retailers that you may be able to find, hopefully, in your area. If you're interested, you know, always go to your brick-and-mortar shop and, you know, talk to them and, you know, ask them if they would, you know, carry it, you know, and bring it in. You know, that's always the best way is to, you know, you know, consumers to go to their brick-and-mortars to talk to them. If they want something, you know, they would listen to you and, you know, try to bring it in. So we're on social media all over, you know, myself, Twitter @_LOD, Instagram, Cubanacon Lawrence, Facebook, Cubanacon Lawrence. You know, we got our guys out there, Spencer Drake, Nate McIntyre, Brandon Holsworth. You know, these guys are all active social media guys. So find them. You know, they're very entertaining characters. Please continue on and, you know, continue to support us. We're growing, and we look forward to, you know, growing and growing more and coming back on the show.
Great. We appreciate it. Thank you for spending the time. I know you're getting some family time in, so thanks for taking some time out with us. Guys, we appreciate it. Logan, we're going to be back next week with, who do we got next week?
Some new people.
Oh, we have Taboo Cigars next week. I don't know anything about them, but we're going to have them on. We'll talk about, that's a new product on the market, so I'm curious to see. I like the look of their stuff. It's got an interesting look to it, an interesting vibe, kind of a Hawaiian feel to it. Anyway, so we'll check them out next week. We'll be back on Thursday after the holiday. So everybody have a great holiday, a safe holiday, and we'll catch you guys next week.
Later. And fuck it, we're back. Who gives a fuck?
Well, you make it nice and easy for me to cut up the audio. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
And thank you for saying shit like 3 minutes into the show. And then saying, like, juice your nuts all over something, too. I get to edit that out.
There's nothing wrong with juicing your nuts.
There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, as long as you do it in the privacy of your own home. Let's just be real.
Whatever, man.
I don't ever need to hear you talk about it.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
So,
anyways.
We had a ton of questions. I feel like we touched on a lot of them. I don't think we touched on all of them. There was a lot of stuff that was really focused on the HR. There's a lot of stuff. On the Cuban industry and things of that nature. You know, maybe we'll have to get you back on so we can address some of these questions more specifically. But I know the main thing that people are waiting around for now is the giveaways, Logan, and that's your department. So
is that really my department?
You have them.
I know.
Well, I don't know what we have. What do we got?
Well, I'm so fucking glad you asked. We've got, because LOD and Cubanacon are great people, and all the weasels out there listening, the hundreds and hundreds and millions and trillions of people, we have three boxes of cigars. We have a box of the Soneros, which I can't pronounce right.
You said it.
I did? I'm awesome. Yep. A box
Hold on. That's the Maduro blend.
Corona, Maduro.
Corona Gorda size. So that's the 46 ring gauge. That's perfect for the nerds.
That's perfect for the nerds, okay. Yes. Then we've got Cubanacon Habano Pyramids.
Uh-huh.
And then we got the recently line extension, if I remember correctly, Cubanacon Maduro Lonsdale.
The Lonsdale, 6.5x42 Maduro.
I want a 5-pack of those, right?
You can suck it. All right, so let's just do this. I like the system that we did last time, because then I don't have people emailing me. Is everyone email me Logan@CigarFederation.com, Cubanacon Cigars in the subject line. Full name, address, all that. And what we'll do is I'll send out 5 packs to everyone, but we will announce a one grand prize winner for the box of the Habano Pyramids. So one person will win this tonight. Everyone else will win, but you're just going to have to wait till it shows up at your doorstep, and we'll split these up. So email me, and in the meantime, Rob, what's happening?
So let me get this straight.
Just don't fucking worry about it. Just let it fucking unfold.
So everybody who emails you is going to win?
No, I'm going to pick people.
Okay, because that's how you made it sound. It sounded
like... Well, hey, it doesn't matter. If you don't have shit show up at your doorstep, you can fuck off.
I honestly don't know how I put up with you sometimes.
I really don't know how people think we're such a great pair.
So, Lawrence, you travel a lot, right? I mean, how often are you on the road?
I'd say about at least half the time. You're probably on the road out there somewhere.
So, what is that? Like, 27 weeks out of the year? Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, if you add it up, it could be something like that if you would.
What's one of your favorite places to visit?
Favorite places to visit.
It doesn't have to be a shop. You don't want to pick favorites with your shops, but just one of the favorite, your favorite.
Like when you're going to a city, you're like, yeah, I can't wait to go to XYZ city.
You know what? I love Pittsburgh.
Wow.
Where do you want to go? Manhattan, Kansas? fuck. Okay, yeah, why do you love Pittsburgh?
No, he had that loaded up too. It was like, Pittsburgh, damn it!
You know what? It takes me back when I was a rep on the road. So I covered the Mid-Atlantic territory. So my furthest out region was Pittsburgh. So if anybody has ever traveled, going from east to west, you're riding on just death to the turnpike, forever and ever and ever. And the next thing you know, you're going through a tunnel and you pop out the tunnel and bam! It's like you just get hit with Pittsburgh bridges. Buildings, and if you're coming in at night, it's just illuminated all over the place, and it is probably the single greatest entry into a city on a roadway. It's an amazing view when you come in on it. So I always love it when I drive in, through into Pittsburgh, because it's a beautiful scene, especially at night when you see it, because you're not expecting it at all. You're going from desolate to metropolis, bridges, the three rivers, bridges everywhere lighting up, the cityscape. It's a beautiful thing to come into there. So Pittsburgh is probably it's in my top. I can't say there's a number one, but it's up there. And that's what I really do, remember and like the most. And then of course the feel when you go down, into Pittsburgh itself, when you're going down to, the Strip District, it's really eclectic and really old school, the mom and pop shops and businesses, down there, which is really cool, and I really like it there.
Now I've never been to Pittsburgh, but you just referred to it as the Strip District. That's not what pops into my head. Is it? It's something else.
Yeah, well, I mean, but that's what that district is referred to as, just the Strip. You
know? Okay. So it's the Strip, not like the red light district.
No.
I mean, it is the after dark portion of the show. It could be the red light district, and we're not going to judge you, man.
No. I feel like when I go to Pittsburgh, I need a tetanus shot from all the rust. I mean, it's a cool city. I've been there like once or twice, and it's a cool city. It just reminds me a lot of like St. Louis and like how it was like popping, and you go down to St. Louis downtown and all around, there's just like nothing. It's like abandoned. It's just crazy. And that always just really freaks me out because I live in Austin where it's all just new. You know what I mean? And that just always freaked me out about Pittsburgh. But it's not a bad city. I like Philly better. If anybody cares.
Nobody has.
No, I just, nobody gives a shit. I know.
That's a question I like to ask because, I mean, you get to see a lot of these different, you get to see a lot of different cities. You get to see a lot of different big cities. And, I mean, I haven't seen that much of our beautiful country. I mean, some of this, like Chicago, I just went to Chicago this past year. I loved it. That's a great town. The weather was nasty when I was there, though. It was like 80 degrees and 90% humidity and raining. And, ugh, I can't do that because, I mean, California, we don't get real weather. I'm always interested to hear what people have to say. And I think you're the first person to say Pittsburgh, other than the people that we've had on the show who are from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Have you been to the ballpark there, PNC Park?
Driven past it quite a few times. Right there on the river. It's a beautiful park, especially at night. if you're traveling right along the highway next to it, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful sight.
That's one of the ballparks that that I want to visit. I'm a big baseball guy, and my wife indulges me in that. And you know, we went to see Wrigley Field, and now I'm kind of like angling to a baseball road trip every year, and I really want to go to PNC Park, but Pittsburgh might be a tough sell, so I might need to get you on the phone and convince my wife to let me go to Pittsburgh.
If I'll do convincing, it would be either Oriole Park at Camden Yards or National Stadium in D.C., which is a beautiful stadium also.
Well, that's one trip, though, see? Because you can knock both of those out, and then we can go get some history and some culture, some American culture while we're there, too, so... That's an easy sell. That's an easy one. That's a long trip, though. That's about a week and a half, I would think, to go see all like the Declaration of Independence and all the stuff that they were stealing in that movie National Treasure. What's that? What was that one? Where they stole?
Yep, man. Yeah.
Anyway,
Nicolas Cage. I don't talk about Nicolas Cage.
What's that?
Why don't you talk about Nicolas Cage?
Oh, did you guys have a falling out?
Yeah. His movies tend to be the same.
But he's still making them.
Dude, he has the one with his head on fire, and he has like a chain.
Ghost Rider.
That looks he's a fucking American classic.
And I was never a big comic book person when I was a kid. I mean, I'm a kid now, so I'm more into them now, I guess, than I was when I was a kid. But Ghost Rider was one of the ones that I would always read. And then when I saw that movie, I was kind of jazzed about it, saw that it was coming out, and then I watched it, and I couldn't even get through. That was a steaming pile of shit. that's my opinion.
Hey, but The Rock was legit.
Yeah, he had a string. Well, I don't know why we're talking about Nicolas Cage. He had a string of pretty good movies though, with The Rock, and Con Air was pretty good, right?
Con Air was good.
And I'm out.
That's about it.
I'm out.
Oh, hey, Robbie and Logan.
Yeah.
Right. I'm here with two great friends of mine also in Atlanta. You guys know Sean Williams with Premier Mundo Cigars.
Yeah.
He's,
I took a really, picture of you.
Yeah, really good friend of mine, and, you know, he's, you know, gracious brother, man. He actually picked me up from the airport, you know, and I'm, you know, so I appreciate him, and he's sitting over here. He's kind of snuggled up in his, you know.
What's happening?
Got a blanket, you know.
Oh, yeah, he does look all cuddled up over there.
What's up, Robbie? How you doing, man?
How you doing, man? Good to see you. You know, some little known, well, maybe little known, I don't know, knowledge about Sean was he was our first guest when we started doing video.
It's true.
The first Cigar Chat we did with video was with you.
I popped Jerry.
You did. And Logan was in Logan India. Was falling in turd traps in India, so it was just me and you.
I
know.
I remember. Good times, man.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago?
Almost 2 years. Over 2 years ago. Yeah,
over 2 years ago. Jesus. God, I'm getting... Logan, you're getting old, man.
Sorry, I know, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's good to see you, man. We'll have to get you back on. We haven't had you on in 2 years, so we'll... I'm going to shoot you an email. We'll get you back on. So I know we got some stuff we can talk about. No, that's...
Oh, and also, if you guys know Shar, he goes by the name of Leaf Bean Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm right here in his patio in his house in Atlanta. So.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
There you go.
How's it going?
I've been enjoying the show here. It's been great.
You guys got a nice setup on the patio. You got like the little heater going.
Is that a heater or a bug zapper?
That's a heater.
There's two of them.
Man.
We need it this time of year. It's cold down here.
In Atlanta?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's not.
It's 39 degrees.
That's bullshit. Like, it's like 45 in Austin. You guys don't get cold. I thought it was just constantly hot there.
No, brother.
I wish, man. I wish.
Huh.
Yeah, I was complaining that it's cold here. It's about 48. So, but I'm inside and I got the heater on, so I don't have too much to complain about.
Exactly. All right.
I think, guys, they've been really good hosts for me here, you know, catching up with some friends here for the holidays, you know, our quiet time, you know, for the year. So they've been really cool with, you know, taking me around to showing me different shops and, you know, so it's cool. Atlanta's a really cool market, somewhere that we just really started penetrating, you know, as a company. Nate McIntyre has done an awesome job, and, you know, bringing some great shops on board for us.
Nate is a character, man, and that guy, he gets after it. He is hard worker. I mean, just I don't know him. I don't know him well by any means, but I mean, the time that we did get to spend with him when at IPCPR when he was with House of Emilio, and we had our booth there with him. He is nonstop, and I remember when right after IPCPR, it seemed like every day I'm getting an email with a press release from Kubanacon that you guys hired this person, and you hired this person, and you hired this person. I'm just thinking, man, I mean, you guys are getting ready to really, really push it. So that's really good. I'm glad to hear it, and I'm glad to see the success. Logan, let's do this giveaway so we can let Lawrence off the hook, and he can go hang out with his friends.
And our big winner is, for just the box, by pack sent separately, drum roll, please. And I think we got a new person, Al Cardosa.
Big
congratulations.
Big Al.
Big fucking Al. And I even looked at my email to see if he's ever sent me anything in before. First time on the show. Hey.
Nice.
Fucking
nice.
Congratulations. It'll be there next year.
Yeah.
Which is actually 2 days. So anyways.
Yeah. I
know, it was pretty well timed, wasn't it?
That was good. Part of that. Yeah, because it was like, it made a laugh, like a chuckle, like, yeah, I'll get it next year, but it's...
You really will.
It's tomorrow. Well, cool. Man, Lawrence, thank you so much for taking the time. We really do appreciate it.
Yes, brother.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun hanging out and setting some of these misconceptions straight, so that's, I appreciate you doing that. And look forward to everything you guys got coming out next year, and we'll see you, I know we'll see you in New Orleans.
Appreciate it, guys. Everybody in the chat room, thanks for the questions. Really do appreciate it, and we thank for the support, you know, that you guys have given us. Robbie, Logan, thank you so much for the opportunity to come out here and share a little bit, and look forward to, you know, chatting up with you guys, you know, social media and all that. So you guys have a wonderful new year, man.
You too, man.
You too, brother.
Take care. Travel safe. Guys, again, thanks for all the support. Really do appreciate it. CigarFederation.com. You know where to find us. We'll be back next week. Logan, have a happy new year, man.
Dude, I will, man. Fuck.
Try to get some sleep. Logan was on Mr. Mom Patrol today, so.
It did not go well. At all.
That's what I hear. All right, guys, we appreciate it. We'll catch up with you guys next week. Everybody have a safe and happy holiday.
Later.
All right, guys.